Blog Talk Radio.
Tiwa ntiwa etokan etokan to mi gbogbo ilu titi tara ale tara oko lo nse lore ajola wa ko ba o ja kiri oja dele odi direct iku soko wa nkan je ayun lo ayun bo lowo yenu atepele se etena a ma be obe ni besu gbogbo omo yoruba ka kiri agbaye ni le loko lodo leyin odi e je ka jo gbe tiwa ntiwa laruge eto ta ti yan na ede atasa ni bi ta ti nfogban kora eni ko gbodo kulede yoruba je ede to gbadu gbaja ka kiri agbaye ni bi kidi ka fowo soya ko mo yoruba la wa ti wantiwa se mo pe teni teni takisa ntatan boni gba ba se pe gba e laye ba ni fun gba e ni loruko gbogbo onile ise nla nla to fi mo ti kekeke e wa polowo oja yin lori eto ti wantiwa be fe se kede oniruru ayeye aye nbe lori eto ti wantiwa ka polongo faraye ka jo gbera wa laruge be si nfadari eto eyun MC e kan si ko ti wantiwa ori lo fun wa se ki sawose ti wantiwa lori yoruba radio olomo sikata ni baba agbado.
Savior, all that is love.
perfect submission. All is at rest. I am my Savior. I'm happy, I'm blessed. Watching and waiting. Looking above.
Looking above.
Filled with His goodness. Lost in His love. Every day.
People come, Buddha, all the way from Bila.
Tiwantiwa, etokan to mi gbogbo ilu titi, tara le tara oko lo nse lore, ajola wa ko ba o ja kiri oja dele, odi direct iku soko wa nkan je, ayun lo ayun bo lowo yenu, atepele se etena, a ma be obe ni besu, gbogbo omo Yoruba ka kiri agbaye, nle loko lodo leyin odi, e je ka jo gbe tiwantiwa laruge, eto ta ti yanan na ede atasa, nibi ta ti nfogban kora eni, ko gbodo kule de Yoruba je, ede to gbaju gbaja ka kiri agbaye, nibi kibi, ka fowo soya ko mo Yoruba la wa, ti Tiwantiwa, se mo pe teni teni, takisa ntatan, boni baba se pe gba e, nlaye ba ni fun gba e ni loruko. Gbogbo onile ise nla nla to fi mo ti kekeke, e wa polowo oja yin lori eto tiwantiwa. Be fe se kede oniruru ayeye, aye nbe lori eto tiwantiwa, ka polongo faraye, ka jo gbera wa laruge. Be si nfadari eto, eyun MC, e kan si ko tiwantiwa, ori lo fun wa se ki sawose. Tiwantiwa lori Yoruba Radio, olomo sikata ni baba agbado.
Olóòtú wa ló sọ ó ní bóní bápá tó ní bábá ṣe pé gbáì òun náà ni wọ́n ṣe ń fi ń sọ lórúkọ. That is, it is the kind of name you give to your situation that people will use to divine you. Yes. When you see people and you say you have problems, then they divine you as a problematic person. Like Daddy Shoki sang, he said, if you see my mama, Osala, tell her, say, oh, I not get problem. There are some people, they are brought, but all messages they send to the people back home is negative things. Oh, America is not good. Oh, it is too cold here. Oh, we pay a lot of bills here. Oh, this and that. Oh, that and this. So, I will employ you to, yes, our visitor is just coming in. Come and have your seat here. Do you call with somebody?
Yes.
You come.
I need to
stand. We are online already.
Okay.
We are online already. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We are online and we are on video. We are on visual. All right. Like I said, it is the kind of name you give to yourself that people will use to define you. If you give yourself a bad name, then people will begin to define you likewise. If you are in a country and the things that are not pleasant are happening to you, you don't need to be sending that message, that kind of unpleasant message or pleasant situation to your people back home. As a matter of fact, many people didn't want you to travel in the first instance. And you traveled against their wish. And summarily, they want bad things to happen to you. So when you get abroad, when you get across, when you cross the border, and you begin to send negative messages to them, they will be happy. Let me tell you, there are some people who believe the country where they live is not good. When you believe the country where you live is not good, then there is nothing that will work for you in that country. Because that is your promised land. That is the land chosen by God for you. I am talking to those of you that are in Africa. I know you are watching me right now. I know you are watching me. Those of you in Nigeria, those of you in Cameroon, you are in Togo, you are in India. You are anywhere you might be in the world. Believe that land is your promised land. If you don't have alternative, yes. If you don't have any other way, any other place to go, yes. Then believe that land is your land. So believe it is your land. And if you pronounce negative into your life, you will just see that negative things will begin to happen to you. And if you pronounce blessing into your life, then blessings will be or will abound in your life. So I am imploring every one of you today, those of you that are, you are right there in your country, you are right there abroad, wherever you might be, you may be in Asia, you may be in Canada, America, you may be in Africa, you may be in Europe, Australia, or wherever you are. Pronounce goodness into that land of promise. That promised land where God has brought you to. Pronounce blessing. Pronounce good things into that land. Don't tell people, don't call home and tell them that land where you is too cold here. We pay a lot of bills here. So things are happening to you. Stop that. When you begin to do that, you may not be able to make anything good out of that land because it's the promised land which God has given unto you. So that is a candid advice to all of you that are listening to me. Daddy Shoki sang that song. He said, if you see my mama, Osana, tell him still I pay for K2 and no get problem. You know, Daddy Shoki is from Delta State in Nigeria. And he came to Lagos. He is living in K2. And the life in K2 is something else. If you ever live in that part of the city in Lagos, it is something else. But he was sending good message, good will to his mother back home in the village that if you see my mother, my mama, tell him, say, me I not get problem. So, as I am here in America, I believe I don't have problem. Somebody said his problem is that he doesn't have problem. The problem of some people is that they don't have problem. But me, I don't have problem. And I know those of you that are listening to me, I know you don't have problem either. And you will never have problem. That song says, me, I not go suffer. I not go beg for bread. Me, I not go suffer. I not go beg for bread. Lord of miracle, na my papa, oh. Miracle, na my papa. So, I believe you don't have problem. Our September visitor is here, the lawyer. They call them the Lanet. So she's here. She will talk to us on a number of issues. I want you to prepare your questions and those one that has to do with immigration. So anything outside the purview of immigration, please don't ask her. So very soon she'll be coming online. You will see we are on Facebook. And you can watch us on, you can listen to us on Google. We have been trying to fix the new gadgets we just got. So they just delivered it today. So we spent thousands of dollars to buy those equipment for this studio. Yes, equipment for this studio. So they delivered it just few hours ago, and Leniola, Jamiloju, and Femi, they have been battling to put the things right and to make sure that as we are transmitting, it will be live on YouTube, and it will be live on Facebook, and it will be live on Instagram too, right? So they have been battling with that. But they have not succeeded yet because the manual of the instruments needed to be go through they need to go through it and make sure they do things right. So I believe you are watching us live right now. So what I'm trying to say is that we have our visitor here and we have our brother here in the studio, he's been featuring on this program for a very long time, sometimes until he got busy with some other things. His name is Victor Ayetigbo. Yes. He is a journalist back home in Nigeria before he came to America. So when you hear him talk, you know that he knows what he's talking about. He knows the inside out of politics and everything going on in Nigeria. So with me. I am here. Jamiloju is here. Nini Ola is here. Femi was here. He just stepped out and will be coming back again. They are the ones who have been putting things together to make sure that we, you people out there, you listen to us, you can view us visually and the audio stuff. So I am assuring you that today's program is going to be very, very beneficial to everybody. So if you know somebody out there who has an immigration problem, or it may not be him, it might be somebody that is close to him, just call somebody that will call somebody and tell somebody that will tell somebody to let them join this program, because we are on now. Solicitor is trying to attend to some people. Here in the studio, many people have been waiting for her. She drove all the way from Maryland to come and attend to the people. And you know, this immigration stuff is something else. So let us quickly go to some part of some other segment of the program. Let me go this route. I'm coming back.
Africa, land of blessing. Africa, I'm black and proud. I'm black and proud. I've traveled all over the sea and over the land. There is no place like Africa to me. Africa, Africa is my own. All Africa came of Nigeria, proved to all the world that Africa is a nation. Africa, motherland Africa. Africa is my home. The bright sunshine of Nigeria makes me to believe that all over the world there's no place like Africa. For Nigeria is my home. I'm black and proud. I'm black and proud. I've traveled all over the land and over the sea. There is no place like Africa to me.
Yeah, the singer or the person who made this record did it, I think it was early 70s or late 60s. That was when Africa was a place where everybody wants to be. Then when you travel abroad, you travel to UK, even when you come to America, you go to Germany to go for education. Immediately you finish your education, you'll be hustling to go back home, because goodies is waiting for you. Goodies are waiting for you over there. The government would have prepared, the job would have been there ready for you, and things were very, very pleasant then. So the economy was buoyant. The government, they were doing good, sort of. But what I mean is that when you go abroad, then you want to go back home. But now, people who come here, they don't want to go back home no more. But let me quickly, before the solicitor begins to answer to your questions, let me quickly go to this route again. I don't know the reason why people need to travel or to need to, the reason they need to migrate out of their base before they can make it. Even right there from the Bible time, people migrated. God told Abraham, God called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He said he should get out of his country and from his people and go to a land he will show him. And he really got out, really. And if you see again, Joseph migrated. Moses and the Israelites, they migrated. Jacob also migrated. You know, Jacob swindled his brother, and he needed to run away to Laban in Mesopotamia. When he got there, he wanted to marry Rachel, and the father said, you need to serve for 7 years. Said, okay. So after the 7 years service, he wanted to marry, but the father said, no, we have Leah. Leah was the eldest daughter. So the younger cannot marry before the eldest. Then what do I do? He said, you need to serve another 7 years, making 14 years of service to get two wives at a go. So I don't know how many years we have served in the foreign land in order to get maybe the golden fleece, maybe to get just work permit, maybe to get green card, maybe to even get the citizenship. I don't know how many years you have served, but whatever the amount of the year you have served, if you are able to get what you struggle for, then you'll be happy. But sometimes people serve, suffered, and eventually they don't get nothing out of it. I pray that one will not be your portion. So that is about how people migrated in those days. But these days, people still migrate. I read a story from the pages of newspaper yesterday. I read a story of one man called Peter Oyuka from Kenya. The story says the man left his country at the age of 37. That was in 1974. Then he returned back to Kenya at the age of 84, which means that he has spent 47 years abroad. So he left two wives and five children before he went abroad. So by the time he came back, he doesn't meet the two wives again. The children are grown. They are married. They have become grandchildren. Grandfathers and grandmothers. So to the extent that when he came back to Kenya, he went straight to his village. He got to the village, he was able to locate his house anyway. So when he entered the house, everybody in that house, they raised alarm. They thought he was a stranger. And really, he was a stranger. They raised alarm because nobody knew him. So they raised alarm, everybody around gathered in the village. And it was only few people that could recognize him. The real people that could recognize him, they are either dead, they are either too old to recognize, or they are all gone to somewhere or gone abroad, as he did. So he spent 47 years in abroad until he came back at the age of 84. Then he was annoyed. He said, where are my wife? Why should they leave? Let me tell you, you leave your wife, your wives, your children for 47 years without seeing them, no letter, no Facebook, no text message, no Instagramming, no nothing. So, and you still expect them to stay and be waiting for you for 47 years. I bet it is not easy. And another thing is, by the time he came back, he arrived, if he had arrived with Jeep, if he had arrived with Jet, if he had arrived or if he had sent money home and built houses, mansions, so you do know that the villager will actually recognize him. They will even make him the chief. If he arrived any village in Nigeria like that, they may even make him the king. But when he came back with nothing. So are some people who had stayed very long in abroad. So they cannot go back home again because the people they left, they have moved forward. Like the wife and the children of this man moved forward. So the people they left, they have moved forward. They have advanced. They have gotten the thing you went searching for abroad. They got it right there in the locally. They got it right there in, locally. So what I'm trying to stress out here is that some of us, we are here abroad. We have, let me tell you, when you say, oh, it is 6 months I got here, then later it will become 6 years. That 6 years will become 12 years. Before you know it, you are 24, you are 30 years abroad. So what have you gained so far? What is it? What is your achievement? If you have come here to educate, you didn't have certificates, you didn't have paper, you didn't, so it will be very, very difficult for the special person to go back home. So I want to throw a question to somebody out there. I know many people are online, some are joining on Facebook. I want to know, why do we need to travel out of our base, out of the place where we were born, in order to make it? Why not we stay in our village? Some people were born in the village, they moved from the village into the city. They moved to Kampala, they moved to Lagos, they moved to the city in order to make it. And some people moved from the city, they moved abroad. So why is it compulsory, why is it mandatory that we must move out of our base in order to make something out of life? So let me quickly call somebody before our lawyer will begin to talk to us. 8483. Why is it mandatory? Why is it compulsory for us to travel out of our base in order to make something out of life? Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Hello, Bashir Adebayo Nekale. Last in Chicago, Illinois.
Yes, sir.
Fẹ́rí ẹ̀sìn fún prógrámù ìní.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Eka, let us speak English because we have people. Okay.
Thanks so much for the program. There are different reasons why many people migrate from one country to the other. And one of those reasons is economic reason, and some people migrate in order to further their studies, and some people migrate because of challenges that they are facing in their motherland. But when you look at it critically, there are benefits in migration. And there are disadvantages there too. But in the short run, it is advantageous. But to me, in the long run, when you migrate and you stay in a foreign land for a very long time and you don't go back to your country of origin, I don't think it is good. And when you look at some other aspect of migration, especially the way we live in foreign land, you will equally observe that we are losing many things. For instance, we lost our food, we lost our culture, And it's when you, and because we lost our food, our indigenous food and our culture, it's affecting our health. Many people are not feeling okay in foreign land. Many people are not healthy. When you go to our villages, many people in our own villages, they are living, they are very healthy. Many people who live in rural areas in Nigeria, they are very healthy. Majority of them, they are healthier than most of us that are living in Chicago or Boston or New York. So many of us that are in foreign land, I want to advise that we think about our health seriously. And I will let others talk on that.
Thank you. You have contributed positively, and you raised questions, I mean, good answers. And even those things I did not even think about, you have raised them, like missing our food, our staple food. We miss them. I really miss, even though that we have African stores here where we can buy gari, buy fufu. Do you know what? If I didn't eat eba for 1 week, I would not be comfortable.
Seriously?
Yeah, really. I'll be having nightmare, bad dreams. Okay, thank you. Okay. Let me throw this question to Mr. Yetigbo.
Yes.
So do you, by, in those days, the people like Nnamdi Azikiwe, Senghor, Awolowo, and all these big people in Africa, like Nkrumah, Ghana, they all travel abroad to educate. But they went back home. But we don't go. Suppose those people stay abroad, we would have missed them. We would have missed their contribution. So I think they say it is a brain drain, right? A brain drain. So what is your take on that? Like you now, you are a journalist. You are supposed to be in Nigeria, but you are here.
This is the new fashion.
You
know, we have old fashion, we have new fashion.
Okay.
This is the old one, and now
new one.
So thank you very much. So the problem there in those days is because of liberation.
Liberation.
Yeah. Because in Africa, as you say, there was not a lot of liberation. Technologies and academics, all sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
That's why many people come to like that.
Mm-hmm.
And America was not even included. Because to me,
America was not in the picture then. It was London, France.
America was too far.
It would be too far. That was a point.
So, all was in London.
Mm-hmm.
People are going there because they want to colonize.
Nigeria, they colonized some Africans too.
Africa.
And France.
Even America, they colonized America.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why people go to Britain to go and do some education.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, but suddenly, what really happened now is different from what happened in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the economic situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant by
coming
back to say. Mm-hmm. Because of the
mm-hmm.
Even in Americans, even in Nigeria, where you come from, you can see some people who are not even from one local government, one local area to another local area. They stay where they were born, right from the one to where they're going to be.
Where they do good.
So, even the same thing in America here. Some people do not even travel from Pennsylvania to Florida.
But Florida is too far. There are some people who were born in Harrisburg here. They have never been to Maryland.
They have not been to Maryland.
Americans. They don't travel.
They don't travel.
Because they can get everything they need within their vicinity.
And you see, we Africans, we believe travel is an adventure.
Mm.
We went for adventure. For those days, Lord God, they were all to adventure. That's why they went to Africa.
They came to Africa.
So because of that, we learned the history, because all is in the history for adventure. So that's why they're able to know the economic factors. These are people, they don't even believe that we are human beings. They don't even believe that we are human beings. But it's better when they start interacting with us than
they are human beings.
Yes. So that's why they give us our own rights. But these people that came to this, okay, we need to liberate ourselves. We are getting old enough. We're getting a little bit of intelligence. And now you can see that Africans, many of the Africans we're talking about, they're now in Britain, in America, doing better things, which they can do back home. That's where you call up brain drain. Brain drain.
Mm-hmm.
But if everything is available right over there, nobody will be traveling here. They will just be coming for visitation and back
and
home.
And then they go back home.
But because of the economy that is upside down, people have to do for survival. That's a, what do you call it, grip pressure. What do you call it?
Brain drain. Okay.
Green pressure. That's why everybody's coming down here. Not because of anything. Nothing so special in war. No matter whatever, you need your survival.
Mm.
It's the most ultimate of everything.
Okay.
Survival is the most ultimate of everything.
Okay.
So let me put it that way.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let me ask somebody. 1183, you are online. Hello, can you mention your name?
Hello, good evening, Zambale. Hello, good evening, Mr. Asesofa.
All right. Let me quickly. Where are you calling? From where are you calling?
This is Zambale Aziz calling from North Carolina.
Carolina. Okay. Hello. Let me ask you a question. I know you graduated from a Nigerian university, and so to say, you are a journalist. I know, but why do you leave that country where you can do your journalism, where you know the governor of your state, and even they can understand your accent better, and you come here to America? I know you are no more into journalism now. Why do you do that?
Let me correct something there. Journalists,
okay,
will always be journalists.
Okay.
Because, you know, I may be doing something different, but you can't take that journalism out from my blood.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm
really
talking to you now, present in America, it's part of journalism.
Okay.
Yeah, because what I'm expressing here, it's like I'm adding it to my knowledge. Traveling is part of education. If you don't explore other parts of continent, how do you tell others how to behave there? Like Nigeria now, we see how Nigeria is and other African countries entirely. So we see how our people behave. We see how black Americans behave the same thing the white. So now, if when I was in school, we were just reading this in the book or by listening to our lecturers, by describing the culture of this continent. But now I am part of the system. I witness it. I live here. I work here. I raise my kids here. So now this will give me the better knowledge on how to export some good part of America's system into my country.
Okay.
And the bad one, I will know how to use my knowledge to shape it. No, people may be thinking it's impossible, but it is not impossible, because the people I'm living with now, they know me, they study me, and they even asking me how this is being done in your country, and they try some things from me, and they have to fit, and I teach them, I train them how it is being done. That is why when you leave your country for other countries, don't let only the economic part of it hijack the whole thing you're supposed to have known from you. Like myself, it's not only the money alone. Though everybody wants a better life, but it's not only money alone the reason why I'm here. But I'm here to learn more about the system, to learn more about the life, and to learn more about how to live the rest of my life.
Thank you.
I told my wife, I discussed it with her, I've already satisfied with America. and I'm due to return back home. If not because my kids are in school now, I would have settled in Nigeria this time because I don't see any reason for me to remain in U.S. because I learned a lot and I already got what I need. But my kids, they need my support. That is the reason why I still remain in U.S. And always, you could listen to Nigerian radio. I always teach them what I am experiencing here. So they will be able to know how to shape the life there too. So what I'm saying is this. What I'm saying is this. When you find yourself in different parts of continent, don't let your impression be on making money alone. So keep learning how thing is being done rightly and how you, in where you are coming from, doing it wrongly, and how you can use this one to shape the world you are intended to shape in Africa. That will help you to make a life better for the people you live back home. Thank you.
God bless you, sir. Okay, let me go to this number, 5151. Can you tell us your name and where you are logging in from? Hello?
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Moderator. My name is Adeyemi Ogini. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Okay, I have a question for you. Everybody I call, I have question for them. I know you came to America with your family, most especially your children. If you intend to go back home, are you sure that your children would like to go back home with you? That's an intriguing question anyway.
Thank you very much, Mr. Moderator. I extend my hello to every member of the panel sitting down there. Hello, everybody.
Thank you.
Now, first of all, let me say something. You know, traveling out of one's initial abode is natural. It's natural. If you go and look at the history of mankind, you will know, you will realize that traveling from one's initial abode, from one source of creation to other parts of the world to go and make a living, has been in existence right from the creation of mankind. So that's why I said it's natural. Going to the Bible, you will read how God called Abraham, how God called Isaac, how God called Jacob to leave their immediate abode and travel to the south, travel to the east. God was giving them assignment to go and do wherever God asked them to go. Going to the Quran is the same thing. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not stay in the area where he was born and propagate his Islamic, whatever it is. He was moving from one place to the other. So, and go and look at the history of mankind. You know, one way or the other, everybody migrated from one place to the other. Before we go international, let us go to Nigeria and let us go to Africa. So, go and look at Lagos. You will discover that the population of Lagos, 90% of the population of entire Lagos are people from different parts of Nigeria.
You are right.
Go to Abuja. Go to Ibadan. Go to all the metropolitan cities. People traveled from one place, from different places to come and settle. That is to tell you this is natural. Well, the intention why many people travel out of their original abode might be different. Your intention might be different from mine. But the bottom line is it is natural. Even animals don't stay in their natural abode.
Points.
Animals migrate.
Yeah.
You will see the birds, you know, season. Right now in America, there are these birds that are coming into the United States. They usually come in at this time around. I don't know from where. After 3, 4, 5 months, you don't see them again. They have migrated to another place. There is movement.
Mm.
That is natural. That is one.
Mm.
Two, now, those people that left Nigerian shore to other parts of the world, initially, sir, initially, the objective was to go and acquire more education, nothing else. That was the objective. I mean, those people that left Nigerian shore, that left Ghana shore, that left Togo shore, that left Dakar, South Africa, to all these Western countries, around 40s, 50s, 60s, up to 70s, basic objective is to go and learn. Maybe they've acquired their first degree in their various universities in their countries, and they want to go for master's degree in Cambridge, London.
Hello, coming back to my question, because we still have people and we have a few minutes.
That is just that. Now to your question that if I want to go back home, will my children go back with me? That is up to them. That is optional. I can't force them.
Thank you.
Mr. Sesopafiolu, your daddy did not force you to go back to his village when you were residing in Abeokuta.
No.
When he went back to his village, maybe he went back to his village, he did not force you. He left you in the metropolis. The same thing with other people. You can't force them. It's optional. You see, you have to give them option. But my kids, what I do is I don't stop telling them good things, positive things about home.
Okay, thank you
I
very
tell
much.
Them positive things about home. If there's any negative news about Nigeria, about Yoruba land, that they heard in the news, or they take time to ask me, Daddy, we heard that so happened in Nigeria. But I would try and debunk it wisely and put in a positive stuff. So, of course, I want them to have the interest of that place at heart. But if I'm going, whether they want to go back with me or not, that's optional. If they want to go with me, fine. If they don't want to go, life continues. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. 8331. Let me quickly come to you before I call on Professor Mabayaje. 8331, can you mention your name and where you are logging in?
Anyway, my name is Akintomide Charles Akinbola. I have an
Okolajimote. Okay, let me throw this question to you. Mr. Bashir Adebayo said the main reason why some people left home was maybe because of political unrest, persecution, and economic reason. Do you agree to this assertion?
It is very super simple to answer the way I say it, because there must be a reason why a woman will leave the husband's house and then marry to another one. A reason for divorce, if that's what I mean. There's a reason for divorce. Number one, that is why people hated my God on radio, because so many people, they may be elite, but sometimes elites are not reasonable, because they might side loop a lot of mistakes, and they put that kind of things into people's mind. It's a confusion. Number one, persecution. People live for persecution. But that doesn't apply to me. Mine is quite simple and different. The economic wise of Nigeria made me to stay in abroad, because I lived in everything before. And it took me almost about 15 years before I left the country and go back to my country. But when I went back, everything was in jeopardy. It's like I was watching a movie, because all things turned down. You know what I'm saying? The table just turned around. And I'm like, what am I doing in this foolish country? So if I could think like that what am I doing in this foolish country? I have to step up again. Then I moved to the United States of America. And intentionally, that was easily done by me. And there is no any positive mind of going back. I'm not going back. I'm going to live and die here, and I want to be buried here. So my own is simple, super simple. That's it. Some people who are ignorant of the fact of what might cause or lead to my decision, they think like, oh, he doesn't have anything in Nigeria. I got mansion in Nigeria, beautiful building, two at a time. And I got old one, and I still have another one, make it four. And I got three kids in Nigeria. But I am not going back, no more. It's not by persecution. No, forget it. That's not by persecution. Okay. It is my intention. That is what I decided in my mind. So I already migrated, and I'm here, and I'm a U.S. citizen. My kids are U.S. citizens. My family will be U.S. citizens. I wish all my family could be able to come here and have the grace and wisdom to be in America, and I will make them the U.S. citizen. Fuck Nigeria. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let me call on Baba Mabayoje to run this segment off before we go to the other, the real one. So, Baba.
Thank you. Hello, thank you. Thank you. I welcome our first.
Can you tell us your name and the state where you are calling in from?
My name is Moses Mabayoje. I live in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I welcome our visitor.
Okay.
I welcome our guest, and I thank her for her interest in us because she's been coming. I think this is about third time, and
yes.
I know we are not paying her for it, and I know lawyers are sensitive about charges, but she's so kind, and we are thanking her. I know many of us are still calling her to discuss with her, and she listened to every one of them. We appreciate that very much. Now,
let me
say a few things about what some people have said. One, the reason that brings you here may be different from the reason that keeps you here, or that what makes you to want to go back or not to want to go back. There are four ball games. You may come and say, I will spend 10 years. You may decide that you are not going back. You may come and say, I will stay there. And you may get there and get reasons to go back. It may be some people don't go because they know they cannot maintain their health situation in Nigeria.
In Africa.
Some people decide to go because they know they've made good money, education, and they want to go back there to enjoy their life because we have nostalgia for homes. They want to go back there to play politics. They want to go back there to invest. And different things will make you to go, want to go back or not want to go back. So your reason for coming, our reasons for coming are different. Our reasons to stay put here are different. Our reasons to go back or not to go back, they are different too. Depends on each person. That's that. Then somebody mentioned the issue of missing our food, missing our culture. It's our fault. We can be in Nigeria and miss the food and miss the culture. You can be in Africa and still meet your culture if you want to miss it, because we have what we call neo-colonialism, new form of colonialization. You enjoy, when your mind is colonized, your language, you will not like speaking your language, you will not like eating your food, you will not like to mix with people from your country. So it depends on each person. Look at the Chinese, look at the Japanese, look at the Arab. Wherever they carry their culture, they carry their food, they carry their clothes. Every system in their background counts with them. Even when they have children here, they make sure their children imbibe everything
they brought from their homes. Look at the Indians, too. The Indians, many of them are lazy, too. Alak Baba Ndiojo was talking this morning on a radio program. He said, if our language dies, it's our problem. Wherever we are, we can kill our language and we can make it to that. It's like an old man keeping a butterfly in his palm and folding his hand. I know a young man. And he asked the wise man, what am I holding in my hand? The man said, it's a butterfly. It is dead or alive? He said, it's left to you. If you want it dead, it will die. If you want it alive, you open your hand and the butterfly will fly away. If I say it's dead, I know you will open your hand. If I say it's alive, you will press your hand and kill it. So we are killing our culture by ourselves. And that is a very unfortunate aspect of it. I just ate amala tonight. There
really?
Is no food in Nigeria that I don't have fair. There's no way where I will dress in Nigeria that I won't dress here. And there's no people culturally, religiously, township that I had in Nigeria that I don't have fear. So it depends on each of us. If you love Nigeria, if you love your African language, if you love your African culture, you have to look for a way of nurturing it here. You have to look for a way of teaching your children here. So, but many of us, we are colonized. We are eternally colonized. That's our problem. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much. We are leaving that segment to another segment now. So, want her to just be on that way.
And she came all the way from Maryland. And when she was coming, she did not come alone. She came with another person. They came together. I will start the introduction from that area, but I'm coming back. So this solicitor has helped a lot of people. Yes, I must tell you, she has helped a lot of people. Many people came to this studio to come and meet with her because it seems as if she and the immigration, they have eaten together in the same pot. They ate together in the same pot. Whatever she tells them, they agree, they obey. I could remember two persons, husband and wife, so to say, they were arrested. And they were put on the immigration, on the deportation camp. So they consulted me, then I got this lady for them. On the day of the decision, I was there. She first of all introduced me to the chief judge as the pastor. She said, the pastor of their church is right here sitting. So I waved to the chief judge. And after all is said and done, all these, you know, our lawyers, they are full of all kinds of talk. She talk, quoted some laws and all sorts of things. You know, they are learning. And she said, my lord, these people, let them be released and grant them, let them have their paper. If they have paper, they will live a better life. They cannot go back to the country, to Nigeria or to wherever they come from. And lo and behold, this immigration judge just, what do you call that thing you used to, like hammer? Is it hammer? What? Gavel. Is it,
gavel.
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 Gavel. So they just move and he says, your request is granted. That was it. Those guys, instead of them being deported and be languishing there in Africa, they are still here enjoying their lives. They have gotten papers. They have gotten good jobs. Some of them, one of them, she has even gone back to the school. The day she was graduating, she invited me. I went there. So that was why I said God has given her that thing God has given it to her. That is why I can vouch for her. For anybody, just go to her, your matter will be settled. So I will like her to, let me start from that, my sister over there, Nene. Okay.
My name is Dr. Yanim.
Doctor.
Dr. Yemi.
Yemi.
I'm a medical doctor.
Okay.
So I'm here. Friend, she told me about a problem.
Medical doctor.
Okay.
Yemi, right?
Yemi.
Yemi. Okay. Where are you from?
I'm from Cameroon.
From Cameroon.
Yes,
oh.
People think I'm from Nigeria.
Oh.
We're neighbors.
Oh, I know. You know. Cameroon was part of Nigeria, and Nigeria was part of Cameroon. Yeah, I know. But the southern Cameroon, they are Anglophone, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they were part of Nigeria before they dismembered them. So, how is Paul Biya? that's just a digression. That's another topic for another day. Okay. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Now, to you. Who are you?
Well, my name is Cécile Nantron.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the immigration attorney that you've invited so many times here in Harrisburg.
Yes.
I came all the way from Maryland.
And
it's always a pleasure to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing immigration work for about 15 years.
15 years.
I graduated from Penn State University School of Law.
Here in Pennsylvania.
I had my doctorate degree.
Wow.
So I was once a resident of Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
So For me, it's always good to be here.
Oh,
in addition to the fact that you're a special person to me.
that's good. Okay, let me quickly go straight to the question, because the questions, I have a few questions here before I will throw the questions to our audience when we begin to ask you some immigration questions. People were extremely disappointed that the Senate parliamentarian have been unable to include the immigration in the budget reconciliation, which the Democratic Party, which they say they will make as a change or hope. So they were unable to include that in the budget. What happened? What went wrong?
Well, you have to remember that the first thing that Biden did when he came into the White House was in January 2021.
Yes.
He introduced that immigration bill. But you all know that the Congress is divided into two.
For two.
There's the House and the Senate. The House is majority Democratic, and the Senate is majority Republican. The Republicans are the ones blocking everything. But we are not discouraged, you know. It's still in the works. It's a large bill.
A large bill.
Very large. It includes a lot of things, including the immigration reform. But it's not over yet.
Until
it's over.
Okay.
So let's just hope that during the next election, parliamentary election, Democrats picks up a few seats in the Senate, and then we go from there.
Okay.
I'm not discouraged. Something is going to happen in regards to immigration.
Okay.
It might not be as good as most people want, but there will be something. There has to be to do something about it.
Okay. I was reading through, and they said there is another alternative, that the other one, if it doesn't go through, that the Democrats, they have something off their sleeves, that they have another joker, and they call the system registration system. They said it happened sometimes some years back, when they ask people, immigrants, to go and register, and they give them paper, and they said it was from 1960. So they said they're going to update it to up to 2010 now, that whoever has been here, he doesn't commit crime, this and that, blah blah, that they will ask them to go and register so that they can get their papers. Well, can you explain anything on that?
Well, it's Plan B from Democrats. It's a registration system. But the problem with registration is that it's not always a past citizenship, which is what we want. And then there is also the skepticism of most people. If you're an illegal immigrant in this country, you've been here for 20 years, and they tell you, go register somewhere so we can give you papers. People don't trust the government. It's going to be like COVID vaccine. You don't get vaccinated. Oh, no, I'm afraid. I don't trust them because in the past they did this, they did that. It's very difficult for an undocumented person to go register into a system that will sort of flag the person. So that system, that registration system is a little bit outdated. And I know the big difference is that they're going to give some sort of papers to the registration system, but it's not going to be a pass to citizenship. Because if you don't have a pass to citizenship, if they're just going to let you here with some sort of status and you can go back, coming back to your first discussion, you cannot go back to visit your parents in Nigeria. Same difference. It's like giving working permit to people and have them work here, but they cannot travel outside or return.
Okay.
So if there is no path to citizenship, it's a disaster. There is no health thing there. It has to be
total package.
Okay. Otherwise, it's meaningless.
Mm, okay.
I say that because I have papers, but it's meaningless for me.
But to some people,
they might settle with just being registered.
Some people just want to get the paper and be able to work legally.
Yeah.
Like my friend who said he's not ready to go back to Africa.
Yeah.
So I know he's a citizen, but he doesn't. Some people, they just want to get the paper and be able to work legally.
Yeah.
So I pick something from what you said now, that some people, they might be somehow skeptical in going to register because it is a sort of exposing yourself or telling the system or the government that you are here. And you are here hiding. So
you are here, you're giving your address, your name and everything. So you'll be like, if I register, maybe they come and pick me up at night. Maybe I should just hide
myself
in North Carolina like I was hiding in my house going to work illegally. And, you know, people are afraid.
The one that happened some years back, I learned some people, they were afraid of registering too.
Yeah.
But eventually, those who took the bold step to register, they got their papers. And those who were afraid, they didn't get nothing. Though they say coward died many times before their death. The villains never taste death but once. If at all they're going to say, oh, they want to deport you, or you are going to be exposed. So I know when that situation arises, many people might not want to register. But I will plead to people,
That's exactly what I was going to say. It is going to be our responsibility to reach out to people, and encourage them to register.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to vet those people before, because if part of the conditions is that you must not have committed a crime, and then you come to me as an attorney to register you, if I see that you don't have a chance to get anything because you have one DUI, or you beat up your wife 2 years ago, I'm just going to tell you, don't, you know, because you will not get it, and you will be flagged. So this is going to be our job, you and
I. Okay, thank you. To the audience, I want you to listen to this one very well. If the system of registration eventually comes up, and they ask people to go and register, if you have gotten DUI on your record, or you have robbed at gunpoint, or you have been to jail one time or the other, you were convicted, you better don't go and register.
No, they should consult an attorney.
They consult an attorney.
Look at the type of crime. Tell them if eventually they might get the paper or not.
Or not,
because some crimes are just petty crimes.
Okay.
Some other crimes are big crimes, within the big crimes, they are smaller ones. So you have to see an attorney to be able to tell you, okay, this is what condition is required, and then you don't meet the condition because you have committed a felony, example.
Okay.
Or you have committed a felony 20 years ago, so the time has diluted the gravity of your crime. Maybe you can go ahead and register.
Okay. So let me go to another one. We shall still come back to this one. There is VAWA, they say Violence Against Women Act.
Yeah.
Can you give us a clue to that? Or somebody was saying, if you marry an American, she beats you, or you marry, so you can register for VAWA.
Even if you marry an African and she beats you, you can still get VAWA. You know? Not just because.
Okay, tell us, what is VAWA?
Well, VAWA is Violence Against Women Act, okay? And that legislation came out during the Clinton administration because domestic violence is a very big deal in this country.
Mm.
I mean, not even in Nigeria and Cameroon. Women's rights are almost
trampled upon.
Exactly. In this country, one of the leading causes of death after breast cancer is domestic violence. Domestic violence is a big culprit. So VAWA was enacted to protect spouses, not just women.
Not women alone.
Even guys can benefit from VAWA.
Okay.
It's just called women you know, act so, because most of the time it's the women who's abused. Mm-hmm. But even guys can use VAWA.
Mm.
VAWA was enacted to protect spouses that are foreign,
mm.
undocumented,
mm-hmm.
and that are married to American people.
Okay.
Because when you are in that situation, the American person can, the American spouse can take advantage of the fact that she or he is American,
mm-hmm.
and you are not documented,
mm-hmm.
to either abuse you, threaten you, and do all kind of stuff. So if you are in a relationship, a marital relationship, VAWA is not for boyfriend or girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
There's something else for that.
Okay.
If you are in a marital relationship where you are abused, and your husband or your wife, who is American, does not want to give you papers because they can hold, they can, you know, manage you and manipulate you,
mm-hmm.
you can apply for VAWA. Because normally, when you marry an American, your husband or your wife knows that you don't have paper. The first thing they must do is try to get you legal in the country, right? Especially, we're talking about the real marriage. You want to make your wife or your husband who is undocumented documented so that you can live happily ever after.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you are in a relationship where the husband who is American or the wife who is American doesn't want to do that, that's a sign of abuse. Even if there is no beating, nobody can compel the spouse, the American spouse, to file for you. But usually, when they don't want to file, it's because they either take your money or beat you up, they use you.
Mm.
Yet, it's a true relationship.
Mm.
So if you decide to leave the relationship, you can apply for a green card based on VAWA.
VAWA, okay.
But you have to prove that you were a victim of violence. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Outside of the fact that they didn't file for you.
Mm.
There must be other instances of violence, psychological violence,
mm.
Financial violence,
VAWA.
Abuse, I mean. Financial abuse, taking your money, grabbing your paycheck, wasting your money, sexual violence,
mm.
forcing sexual relationship if you don't want to, beating, psychological, emotional violence, taking the kids away from you, telling you that you are going to be deported, I'm going to call immigration on you, to deport you, and I'm going to keep the kids. Those are instances that you need to record.
Mm.
Because you have to prove your VAWA case.
Okay, thank you. Let me go to Dakar. Dakar, they say, is deferred action for childhood arrival.
Okay.
Can you explain just a little for us so that people will know?
Dakar came out during the Obama administration.
Mm.
I believe it was 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Dakar is the legislation that protects children that were brought in America.
Before as the age children, of
18. As children by their parents.
Okay.
The parent is undocumented, the child is undocumented, but the child didn't decide to come to America. You brought
they just
the child.
Brought.
Okay. So, in order to benefit from DACA, you must have graduated from high school. No criminal record.
Mm-hmm.
You must have been in the country before the legislation came, I think it was in 2010.
Okay.
And there is another condition. You must have been brought here as a minor.
As a minor.
Yeah. Not minor is 21
years old. Mm-hmm.
Then, at that time, you apply for DACA. You prove all that with your passport of entry, if your parents still have it. And then you get a working permit. It doesn't allow you a pass to citizenship,
mm.
which is what the Biden administration is fighting for. Those kids are innocent.
Mm.
They were brought here illegally by their parents. They didn't commit the crime. The parents did. So they are collateral victims of the parents' migration.
Okay. Thank you.
The DACA people,
mm-hmm.
during the Trump administration, Trump stopped DACA,
mm.
meaning that if you didn't apply for DACA back then,
mm.
even if you meet the requirements, you cannot apply. So Biden came back and reopened DACA.
Okay, again.
It doesn't mean that DACA restarts from when Biden came.
Yes.
It just starts. You still have to prove that you were here before DACA, Obama DACA. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let me, there is another one here, TPS, Temporary Protected Status. What is that?
I feel like I'm doing a law course today. TPS is a temporary protective status. It's given right now to Haitian people because their country is disaster. People from Salvador. It's something that the Department of State brings up every year. Sierra Leone had it for a while, for many years, while they had a lot of AIDS and Ebola. When you cannot return to a country because of a situation that is...
Because of pandemic.
Pandemic or war, and you are here, they can give you TPS.
Okay.
TPS is just what it is. Temporary protective status. Sometimes they renew it, sometimes stop it for one country, for one reason or another. Mm. It's not a pass to citizenship, but at least you are legal. And if at the time TPS is given, you've been here for 20 years, illegally, you get TPS.
TPS.
Yeah.
Mm.
You get TPS, you can apply for it, and they give it to you. But then when TPS is stopped, you are illegal again.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry about that. Then let us wait.
Asylum is asylum. TPS is TPS. TPS will give you a working permit and the right to stay here.
Okay. Okay, let me ask this last one before we allow our audience to ask questions. U visa. They say it is the United States non-immigrant visa. What is it all about?
Okay. The U visa is the U visa and the G visa. Both of those visas are given to people that are victim of a crime in the United States.
Okay.
Let's say you go out on the street, you are mugged, or you are beaten up. Give me a second. I want to get the exact distinction between the two.
We don't want to go into details of all that.
The right, because those two are interchangeable sometimes.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. The U visa is for victims, people that are in the United States and are victims of crimes. Yeah. Like I had a client who was undocumented. She was raped somewhere in Harrisburg. She came to me and she wanted to apply for something, and I did her case as a U visa. Because when she was victim of the crime, she went to the police. It's a way for the government to encourage undocumented people that are victims of crimes, they have to report.
Okay.
Because some people don't want to report because they think...
Maybe they will deport them.
Exactly. But if you are a victim of a crime, you need to report it. Okay. And then you use that report to qualify you for a new visa.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. I think we're done on these all these intriguing questions. Let me allow our people...
But that U visa, you need to tell that to people all the time. They have to report crimes. They have to report. The police is never going to deport them. The police doesn't deport people. Deportation comes from the immigration judge.
Immigration.
So okay. If you're a victim of a crime, you need to report it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. I hope we have some people who wants to ask some questions. Let me go this route. 8483. Do you have any question for our lawyer?
Good evening. My greetings to our attorney. Thanks so much for the opportunity that you are giving us to hear all this information. Yeah, my question is that... we are hearing a proposal from the administration regarding some people that may benefit from the ongoing program. One of that requirement they said is that one has to be part of the essential worker. I want to know how they define the essential worker. That is my question. How do you define the essential worker? Does nurses qualify as essential worker? Does those who work in, who take care of babies, or documented immigrants that take care of babies or take care of old people, and they get paid under the table, how do they qualify to be, do they qualify to, and how do they go about it? Thank you so much.
Well, great question. Usually when immigration talks about people, they talk about farmers.
Farmers.
People that are coming from Latin America to work in farms. Those are those workers, when they talk about workers, they say they are, it's not, it doesn't involve people that do construction or what the gentleman was talking about. It's usually farmers.
Okay.
But according to, yes,
some
lawyers whom I interviewed, they said those who work in the factory, those who are babysitters, those who work during the pandemic, they are essential workers too, that they could be considered. I said, okay, when our lawyer comes...
For the immigration deal?
Mm-hmm, yes, they may be considered.
On what basis? I know the immigration talks, the immigration bill talks about farmers. Babysitting is not,
essential work.
I've never heard anything like that, so I'm a little bit baffled. I don't know how to answer that.
Okay.
Giving papers to a babysitter, well, if he's talking about sponsorship, like a hospital can sponsor a nurse and then give her papers, that's different. You know, he's not talking about the immigration bill. Sponsorship has always been in existence.
Okay.
But the quota that was given each year was diminished during the Trump administration, because Trump didn't want foreign workers to invade America. Because back in the days, you could sponsor people in the IT department, because Indian people, they used to come here as IT, you know, with their family. But each year, Trump kept cutting down the number of visas. Now, Biden is raising that number.
That number.
But it's not just for sponsorship. Each year, there's maybe 50,000 or 30,000 visas that are given by the U.S. Department of State to several categories, right? Including people who are playing the lottery, people that are being sponsored, people that are coming here because they have exceptional abilities. Okay? So Trump took those categories together. He decreased it maybe to 10,000. Right? Now Biden is putting it back to 30,000 where it was. I'm just giving figures. But what he's talking about, essential workers, they have to be sponsored by a company. And in order to sponsor somebody by a company, you have to prove to the Department of State, to the Department of Labor, that you didn't find anybody here to do the job. So the Department of Labor has to certify, it's called firm certification. They have to certify, then you take the certification, you take it to immigration for the person to get paper. But it's very difficult for the Department of Labor right now to certify anything, because they think they are enough qualified American citizen and permanent resident here to do the work. Back in the days, for example, when you wanted to open a French restaurant and you thought of French cuisine as something special, you could bring French people from France, and the Department of Labor would approve it, because American people didn't know much about the French. But that was impossible. Yeah. Indian people used to bring their family here as sponsors to work in a restaurant. But now you have all those Indian people here. Even Chinese people now can do the Indian food.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let us
when I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Hey, Sarah, whatever will be, will be. The future is not ours to see. Que será, será. when I grew up and fell in love, I asked my sweetheart what lies ahead. Will we have rainbows day after day? Here's what my sweetheart said. Hey, sounds and all, whatever will be the future not ours to see. Kay said on, said on. What will be now I have children of my own. They ask their mother, what will I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich? I tell them tenderly. Kay said on, said on. Whatever will be, the future is lost to see. Kay said on, said on. What will be, Kay said on, said on.
Okay, let me call. That you want to ask questions. 3079, you are here. Can you mention your name and the state where you are calling from and tell us your question? Hello? Hello, are you there? 3079.
Sure. Hello. Okay. How are you? Good evening. Hello?
Good evening. Hello, we are
yeah,
here.
How are you? Yeah.
Tell us your name.
My name is Akim Olayinka Penola from Maryland.
Okay,
actually, I have no question. I just want to say hello to our lawyer. That,
okay.
Hello.
That's everything. That's everything, madam. Good evening, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome.
395, you are here. 8395, any questions? Just tell us your name.
Good evening, this is Larry Amakosu. I'm calling from Indiana. I want to say thank you to the attorney. We really appreciate your contribution to the community. We are indeed a plus, and then we appreciate you. So I have a question, and So if I once I have that question, and the response will determine if I have to ask the second question. So now I know that some people are here who are undocumented, and they are not. They have not filed any petition for asylum. They are just here. They are just hiding there. So and they are also expectant of the promise by the Biden's administration that when. I mean, that they will be qualified to benefit from that program, I mean, the immigration reform program that Biden is putting in place. So, but they don't have any code to identify them as a contributor to maybe economy or anything. They are just in here. So what do you think the fate of such people who are just hiding, they don't have anything. The people that have, they are working on asylum, they are probably working. They are just expecting that something would, you know, change their status, maybe somehow. But these ones, they are just here. There's no traces of their record in the United States. So what do you think would be the fate of such people with this Biden's program?
Wow. Well, forgive me if I'm a little bit slow.
Mm-hmm. You mean there are people here in the States that have no names, no ID,
no entry,
no
passport? They have no nothing. They are just here.
They don't have documents, no passport. They are not even
an expired.
The passport and whatever they brought in is already expired.
It's
okay. They have been here for long.
Most people who have been here for long have expired passport, but you need to something to prove that you are who you are. I mean, in order for me to be identified as a Cécile Nantois, I have to show my ID or my passport, even if it's expired. As long as it has my picture and my name on it, and it's an official document. So those people who have expired passport, they will be able to use those expired passports to prove that they are who they claim they are. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Hello. No. So hello. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm, yes, we can hear you.
So I'm clear now. The other question I want to ask is that there is a trend going on in the state where I am right now, and that trend is undocumented people are just rushing to buy houses, highly expensive houses. And so when you ask them, they say, it's connected to that once you get a house, there's something that is hidden there that once you have a house, they might consider you that you are kind of trying to establish yourself, stuff like that.
Okay.
I am not a lawyer, but I'm kind of skeptical about the rate at which undocumented people are going to get involved, get themselves involved in 30 years down the road loan for such a huge amount of loan to buy a house just because they think it will contribute to or it will help them. What does that really... And I asked a real estate specialist. He said they are right.
Those real estate people, they want to sell houses. The last thing the government do, they will be asking for economic status, and in order to give papers. Papers are not given to people that are deserving because they have money. That is not the way this country works. It is not about money. It's not about being established. It's about being a good person of good moral character. Have never committed a crime in this country. You have to prove manner of entry. What you did, if you file your taxes, because people think that because I don't have papers, I'm not required to file taxes. No, you have to file your taxes even if you work illegally. Okay? Even when you steal money, you have to pay taxes on it because it's income. If you win the lottery, you pay taxes on it. If you gamble with the machines and you win coins and you win a fortune, you have to pay taxes on it. There's always something that is taxable, whether you have papers or not. If you are working and you have a paycheck, you need to file your taxes. Your taxes are going to help you prove that you've been here for such number of years. Because Biden can very well say, okay, I'm giving papers to people who have been here 10 years plus. I'm just giving an example.
Uh-huh.
Then you have to prove that you've been here 10 years plus. Okay? It's by filing taxes. You have a fiscal presence. Now, buying the house is not part of the equation because buying the house will put an extreme burden on people who are poor, and the Constitution prevents that. It's a violation of the Constitution of the Equal Protection Clause. That's another ballgame. But tell your real estate agent that you don't need to buy a house to get papers here. Okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you still have another question? It seems as if our time is
question.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let me go to 833. Any questions?
Hello.
Yeah, I got a question. Good evening, madam.
Good evening, sir.
Did I appreciate your coming to the radio? Yes, I do. Because it is really enlightened. You made so many of us be a part of ourselves now. Because at times people are ignorant of a lot of things, especially when it comes to innovation, palaver, or status. People scared. People don't know what is the precise thing to do. Some people, so many Africans, they don't ask questions. But if any of them who are ignorant of that kind of a caliber is on the radio tonight, they'll be part of themselves and they'll be thanking you. So I give you a vote of thanks to you, Mama. I have some questions. It is a complete worrisome question. It's been happening for 25 years now. What happened was one of my sisters, let me just be frank and say it straight the way it is. One of my sisters, she's not my family sister, we are just a friend, and you know how Africans respect each other like brothers and sisters. It happened like 25 years ago, she came here, she was pregnant, she just only came for the vacation. She wasn't intending to remain in the United States because her husband is a little bit okay, back to Nigeria. So as soon as she got here, I think she was trying to spend like about a month before she could go back home on vacation. She had a bad news that a mobile police officer killed her husband back home. She was purely devastated. She was mad. She was sad. Back in the days, you know, she was young. Imagine 25 years ago. And she's now 50. Probably she might be around 24, 25 by that time. So she had a baby here, baby boy, and she refused to go home after she had the baby because of that tension situation. Up to now, you know, back in the days in America, there's a lot of ways and manners that you can get this issue. You know what I mean? People always make their ways to get it. She got one. She got the paper to work. But not legit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Up to now, she's been using the name with no blemish at all. She wasn't getting arrested. And the son is now 25 years. Is there any possible way the son can be able to file the paper for the mother so that the mother can be able to go back home? That's my question.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. How old is the son?
25 years.
25.
Where he can... Yeah, you have to be 21 to file for your parents. So the answer is yes, he can file.
Yes,
he can file for his mother.
But is the mother got to go back to Nigeria before she could get the paper? Because that is the main scary part of it. Some people are saying, you know, we don't really know what the immigration wanted or what the immigration really do. We only want to apply when we are feeling comfortable. You know what I'm saying? She's not feeling comfortable to do that. She was a little bit scared.
She doesn't have to go to Nigeria. But I'm just answering from the facts that you gave me. But there are other things that come to play in order for her to get papers. The best thing you can do for your sister is to take her to a qualified immigration lawyer so she can do a consultation and then look at her case, six of her case. Right now, telling me she does not have Nigeria. She can get her green card here from her petitioner.
Without going back to Nigeria, right? Are you sure?
No, she doesn't. A lawyer is talking to you.
I said it before. People were scared. Until when you see a genuine medication to treat yourself for a malaria, that is when the malaria leaves you. If you don't see a genuine lawyer who's capable of doing things, you know what I mean? And a lot of lawyers, you know, when you're trying to explain your situation to them, the first thing they're going to ask you is about, are you undocumented? Or whatever the questions that's going to be scary. You know what I'm saying? It happened. I've seen it. It never happened to me because I'm not good. But my other question, I have the last question. If I get your number from a pastor, Are you able to do any innovation work in Rhode Island? Because I'm calling from Providence.
From where?
Yes, that. It is a simple question. Any
Providence, lawyer, Rhode Island.
Can work anywhere.
She's
licensed to work anywhere in America.
I'm gonna get your number and I will pass it to her. So she's gonna contact you. I will speak with her to
me after the program. I'll give you a number. I can even give you
one more time. I say thank you very much for coming.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Can you release your number to me? I'll write it down. Stay there. Hello. Okay, pass the number on, or after.
Sir, you can obtain the number. I'm driving now. There's no way for me to be able to write it down.
Okay.
Please.
Okay,
so
thank
I'll,
you.
I'll right. call you at the...
Okay. Let me go to this number. 1498, I think. 1498.
Yeah. Good evening. Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Abdulfatah Ibanwola from Brooklyn, New York.
You are welcome, sir.
Thank you, Pastor Osherson, for giving us this opportunity.
Thank you, sir.
I thank our sister, too, for coming up to at least enlighten us on the burning issues. I have two questions to ask. One, the first one is about this, the diversity visa. Some people, they have heard a rumor that has been going on now that they started it again, that people can go online and file for fill the form. And is it true or not? And that is ending up by October 3rd. I want to find out about that from you.
Somebody took that rumor that people can go online and do the filing, right? That's the question.
Yeah. Yes, that is one.
Secondly,
mm-hmm. if you are married to American or whether American or not, whichever one, and you are married, and you intend to fight, and when you are someone fight for you, in the olden days, they say 90 days. After 90 days, you get your social security and work authorization. Is it still the same way, or how many months now before you can have a working paper like a work authorization and social security? That's just the two questions.
Okay.
I mean, thank you, my sister.
Thank you.
I didn't hear
the first question, going online to register, the one you said maybe...
Wait, I'm double checking. I think it started at the end of September, beginning of October.
Okay.
But it's not published yet.
It's not published yet.
Yeah.
But is it actually going on?
Yes, it is going on. It's going to start.
And Nigerians are qualified too?
No, Nigerians are not qualified. You guys are too many.
are you joking or you are serious?
250 million people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So what about the second? What's the second question? So I didn't quite understand the second
question. The second question was, when somebody... file, how long does it take to get the work paper and the green card?
File for what?
When you are married.
Well, usually between the filing time, okay, this is how it works. When you file for the green card, there are other applications that you have to file. It's a complete package. The fact is all done. Within 3 months, they will send you the working permit and the travel document. If the package is well done, Okay. But if you missing this, they're gonna send you a request for evidence.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna delay.
Delay.
So from the filing with the package well done, from the filing to the green card, it might take maybe 6 months. Because you have to go to interview if it's your wife, if it's a child, you have to go to interview. I mean 6 months.
Okay. Thank you. You had it all.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you, sir. Okay, 1629. You are here. Hello? 1629. Who is this? Hello? 1629. Okay, let me move on.
Hello?
Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Good evening. You can call somebody else. I'm busy.
Oh, you're busy, okay. 8457. 8457. 8457. Are you there?
Yeah, we have 3 minutes left.
Okay. Okay, let me go this route before, let me go to commercial.
Tiwantiwa, etoka etokan to mi gbogbo ilu titi tara le tara oko lo nse lore ajola wa ko ba o ja kiri oja dele oju direct iku soko wa nkan je ayun lo ayun bo lowo yenu atepele se etena a ma be obe ni besu gbogbo omo yoruba ka kiri agbaye nle loko lodo leyin odi e je ka jo gbe tiwantiwa laruge eto ta ti yanan na ede atasa nibi ta ti nfogban kora eni ko gbodo kule de yoruba je ede to gbaju gbaja ka kiri agbaye nibi kibi ka fowo soya ko mo yoruba la wa Tiwantiwa, se mo pe teni teni, takisa ntatan, boni gba ba se pe gba e, laye ba ni fun gba e ni loruko. Gbogbo ni le ise nla nla to fi mo ti kekeke, e wa polowo oja yin lori eto tiwantiwa. Be fe se kede oniruru ayeye, aye nbe lori eto tiwantiwa, ka polongo faraye, ka jo gbera wa laruge. Be si nfadari eto, eyun MC, e kan si ko tiwantiwa, ori lo fun wa se ki sawose. Tiwantiwa lori Yoruba Radio, olomo sikata ni baba agbado.
You are here, sir. Hello.
What do you mean? I've asked my question. I don't have any new question.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello. Okay.
So just give you.
Thank you.
The comment.
Can you just say something to
our visitor? No. It's not like that. You have to.
In form of appreciation again. That's
some sort of.
Hello, sir.
Well, that's exactly how it works in America. You become
Hello?
A permanent resident and then you become a naturalized citizen.
Is that me?
This yes. Country? Yes.
Still of time?
Yeah.
Because our time is fast spent. We want you to help us appreciate things.
Not handed out like either cake.
Oh. To say our learned friends.
Yes,
our learned friends. Thank you. We appreciate you. And we will still expect you again and again. We are becoming friends. And we want to maintain that friendship. And many of us will be calling you. I have somebody who's listening now. Who's, and she's going to call you too. Very soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We are very grateful. God will take care of you. God will answer your prayers too and attend to questions you have that we cannot answer. God will answer them.
Amen.
Your own questions.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Let me...
Hey, ça c'est le tube à Sidenio Papillon. Hey, Sumuma, Weya, Waka.
Let me, okay, can you just tell our audience your telephone number?
Sure. My phone number is 240-705-1727.
Repeat it.
240-705-1727.
Then you're going to say it one by one now. Don't just rush it. Repeat it.
40-705-1727.
Okay. You know, you should be, you should say, oh, how do I hear about repete? You know,
no,
in those days when we were in high school, when fresh teacher comes in through the door, we jump out through
the window.
The same thing? We jump out through the window. We hated that fresh teacher. We hated him with passion. We don't want to see him at all. We never knew that French is still going to be useful for us. Thank God. So thank you for coming. We still expect more of you. Very soon we still want you to come over. So we appreciate you. And everybody on this radio, those who are on Facebook, many people are watching abroad. Yes, many people are watching abroad.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
nice.
They're watching live abroad.
Oh, great.
So there are some people logging from Canada, from Australia, from Dubai, even. Yes, some people from everywhere in the world. So they are watching. And after this program, it is going to be on YouTube. You can go on Google, just type Tiwa and Tiwa, and click on demand episode. So immediately we finish this one, it will become an on-demand episode. So just click it. You don't need to pay a dime. And you can go on YouTube, just type Fafi Connect. Then you can watch it over and over again. And if you are a friend on my Facebook, you can just browse it and watch it anytime. Go on Google, go on YouTube, go on we're still going to put it on Instagram too. We put it on Instagram. So then it's going to be more viral. Even many people are still going to watch after this time out. So we really appreciate you. Your clients are waiting for you over there.
Yes.
So we release you. Go and attend to them.
Next time we will find your hotel in
Blackburn. No, we can still get an hotel if you want it. So next time when you are coming like that, we'll get an hotel for you.
Oh, you can just send a jet, a private jet to pick me up.
Private jet.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a bright idea. So go and attend to your client.
That's my coffee.
That's your coffee. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
That's your coffee.
So those clients, they cannot make it to the office. I have to see them here.
Just talk to them if you want to give them an appointment to meet you best with. That depends on.
Okay.
That's what the case.
Visit irockin.com for more Nigerian music anytime, anywhere.
Can queen, ooh Lord, just like the sun lights up the earth, it lights up my life. The only one I ever see with a smile so bright. And just yesterday, you came around my way, you changed my whole sin way. With your astonishing beauty, oh, you couldn't make a brother sing. No ordinary thing, a supernatural being. And no, you are brighter than the moon, brighter than the star. I love you just the way you are. And you are my African queen, the girl of my
my dreams. You take me where I've never been. You make my heart go ding-a-ling-a-ling. Oh, you are my African queen, the girl of my dreams. And you remind me of a thing, and that is the African beauty.
So, this is Buffy saying bye. I appreciate my granddaughter and Nene Buffy, Jamiloju, and Femi Buffy, who just stepped out. They've been the engineer. They are the one who audio and video. So I appreciate them much. And I appreciate those who are here with us in the studio. In the studio tomorrow by 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're going to be on air again. So there you will hear me reading world news. So Professor Mabayo will be there to give you the philosophical talks. Likewise, Oyekunle Assis will also be there. He's going to anchor the program throughout from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. tomorrow. Thank you. Join us tomorrow, and we shall meet again. Thank you very much.